Lord, we ask that as we continue to worship you, you would speak to us, that your voice would ring in our minds and our hearts, Lord, that we would be obedient to you. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. I was inside the gas station waiting in line, and a gentleman in front of me was wearing a white t-shirt with a logo on it. It was this logo up on the screen, Sherwin-Williams, right on the back of his t-shirt. And he was wearing white painter pants, too. We exchanged some pleasantries after I thought I had locked keys, my keys, in my vehicle. And as we waited in line, I remembered an old pair of painter pants I had growing up and how I'd liked them. And then I thought to myself, why are painter pants white? You would think that there was an obvious answer to the question, and I thought maybe this guy will know as he looks like a painter. You know, I don't like it when I think I should know an obvious answer to something like this. Don't you? Of course, at that very moment, a cashier called him forward to pay, and then he left as I went to pay for my purchase. So I hurried up and ran outside and called, "Hey, sir!" After making sure he was a painter, of course you know what I asked him. Why are painter pants white? And he said this to me. Most colors we paint with are light colors, and so white pants tend not to show the spilled paint on our pants. So now I knew the answer. It was an obvious answer, but one I still didn't know. The same could be said about God and creation. Why did God create the universe, then the earth, and all that appears on the earth? God created us for what purpose? We know the answer should be obvious, but for some reason most people cannot state the answer. And it is an answer you think all Christians should know the answer to. As we begin to look at the Bible, I want you to think of it as a story seen in two parts. There is an upper story. It is God's story, an overarching story in the Bible of God's movement throughout history. It is God's reasoning and God's actions performed for specific purposes. This is the upper story. And then there is a lower story of the Bible. It is humanity's story. It's the smaller stories in the Bible of people and their lives with or without God. Each of us are a part of this lower story as our life unfolds day by day. This is the lower story. The Bible speaks of both stories, the upper story, which is God's story, and the lower story, which is our story. What is most important about the upper and lower stories is this. To understand either of them, you must look at them from a particular point of view. In other words, to understand God's actions, the upper story, we must look at it from God's perspective as best we can and realize that even on our best day, we may not still completely understand God's activities. And to understand the lower story, we have to understand people's mindsets and why they act the way they did. Now imagine God in the upper story, as we know God now, revealed through the Bible, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, before time began, before anything ever existed. You see, God was in perfect unity, one with each other, Father, Son, and Spirit, in perfect community, caring for one another. I can imagine the dialogue between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit about their love and perfect community for all eternity past. And then, maybe then they said, let's expand our perfect love to others. Build a larger community of people, others that we could or would have to create. The result of this conversation would be written out in the first two chapters of Genesis, the creation story. God first creating an environment so that God's crowning achievement could live upon the earth. And to show how important we are, God's crowning achievement above all other creation, God said of us, let us make man in our image. They can think and reason for themselves. They can make their own choices to choose how they will live and love. And this we will call free will. They are our crowning achievement. And all of the rest of creation is revealed and reveals our glory and is for the benefit of the people who live and flourish on the earth. But what really makes these people special above all other created things is this. They alone of all creation will have the ability to be in relationship with each other and especially with us, Father, Son, and Spirit. Now friends, it's important to understand that God created us to love us and to be loved by us, to talk with us, and to be in an ongoing and eternal relationship with us, to live in perfect harmony with each one of His created beings. This is what God desired most for us all. So God is about being in a relationship with His creation, especially with you and me. Again, this is the upper story. Now, of all God's created beings, there were the angels, the servants of God. And of all the angels, a guardian angel, the most beautiful angel of all, was one called Lucifer. But Scripture says this of Lucifer in his heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Now how can the created ever become more than the Creator? So God removed Lucifer from heaven and cast him down upon the earth. And in the lower story, Adam and Eve were naming animals, working and tending the garden, and as we discover, walking and talking with God in the cool of the day. That is, they were in a relationship with God. God had given us two things to labor at. First was to tend the garden and rule over the animals. Second was to increase the population. God had said for us to not do only one thing, and that was to eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This wasn't a problem, as there were other beautiful trees with wonderful fruit to eat, as well as every seed-bearing plant on the ground in this awesome garden for food. The wonderful thing was that God trusted us and gave us the freedom to live and work as we saw fit. Yes, God would give us some suggestions as we walked in the garden, but always left the final decision to us. God truly loved us, and we truly loved God. We were in a perfect relationship of love, trust, and communication with God. Then the serpent showed up one day as we were near the one tree God forbade us to eat from, and suggested we take some of its fruit. The serpent said it would make us like God in our knowledge. Who was this serpent? Why did it want us to take its word and disobey God? You see, God is good and loves us and has provided for us a wonderful place and a wonderful life. It's perfect. But the serpent was so convincing. To eat of this one tree would make us more like God. And I did want to be like God, who was so loving and caring to us. The upper story. Lucifer, now known as Satan, twisted my words. Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, and their eyes were indeed open to good and evil. They did become more like me. And because they disobeyed, they had to leave the garden, as the garden was a place of perfection and perfect community. No matter how much I love them, there are always consequences to disobedience. Perfection continued to exist in the garden, but for Adam and Eve, you see, they birthed selfishness, doing their own thing and not trusting me. The Bible, we call this sin, And selfishness is at the core of all acts, an act of sinfulness. Because sin says it's about me. Adam would struggle with the ground to raise food. Eve would experience pain in childbirth, and also death would come to them as they no longer had access to the tree of life. But I would provide a way for them. I promise that from Eve would come one who would eventually crush Satan, and that if they continued to trust me and believe in me, although they were no longer in the garden, I would provide a way for them to myself. Not just now, but for all eternity. But selfishness or sin was birthed into humanity in that moment. And even Adam and Eve's two sons would demonstrate this evil in their own lives. Along with Satan, who is a powerful liar, people would continue to act selfishly, which kept them out of relationship with me. Selfishness and Satan got them to chase after everything but me, such that people did not even know who I was. I was slowly squeezed out of their memories, maybe seen as a myth or an old wives' tale or a legend. It finally got to the point that nobody knew me. The whole world was wicked all the time, hurting each other, looking out for only themselves, worshiping themselves or other idols of stone and wood. Each of these people, my children, were going to die without ever knowing me. Now Scripture says of God in that moment, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that He had made human beings on the earth, and His heart was deeply troubled. What is truly amazing, even when evil ruled the day, God didn't give up on this idea of being in perfect community with His creation. You see, God started over with a man named Noah and his family. No, they were not perfect. In fact, Noah and his family did sin. They were selfish, but they had not forgotten God. They continued to believe in God. They continued to worship God despite what the rest of mankind was doing. Yet, even within their human nature was the idea that above all, I need to look out for me first. Now you might think that God would finally give up on the idea of being within a perfect relationship with people, as people will always fall short of perfection because of their bent for sin, their bent for selfishness. But remember, we are God's crowning achievement in creation. God said that we were not just a good part of creation, but He said that we were a very good part of creation. Because we were created in the image of God. And God still wants to be with us, to be in relationship with each one of us, despite our nature to selfishness, despite our sin nature. It's because that's who God is. It's because that's why God loves. It's just who He is. So the question of what we were created for, that obvious answer that we look for when we want to understand what our purpose is this. We were created to be in a perfect relationship with the God who loves us to death. We were created to love God and to be loved by God, to walk with God each and every day of our lives, through the highs and the lows, to know that God is with us. And so thus begins our adventure through the Bible, through the story. Because we see now that there is an upper story, God's story, who loves us so completely that He will never give up in seeking a relationship with us. And we also see in the story that there is a lower story, our battle, humanity's battle against our sin nature, to find God and to live with God within His perfect love and will, the lower story. Let us pray. God, we're grateful that you give us both the knowledge of the upper story, your story, and the lower story, our story. And ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to walk through the Bible, Lord, that you would reveal your love for us. God, that you would reveal our nature to us. And God, that you would draw us closer to yourself, that we may walk with you more closely day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.